Zeke cleared his throat. He couldn't delay any longer. The only chance he had left was to avoid answering directly. "I have many objectives here today," he began haltingly, "and one of them is undoubtedly to observe the ritual and learn as much about it as I possibly can. However, my interest stems from intellectual curiosity, nothing more. I also don't plan on discussing my findings with anybody else." After saying this much, Zeke snapped his mouth shut. He had done what he could and explained his intentions as favorably as possible without outright lying. Anything more could only ruin his chances now. And even though the crystal was still a vibrant green, Albert's face remained unchanged. "What other objectives?" "I want to use this event to build up my network of contacts," Zeke explained truthfully. "I plan to build a strong connection with your family, as well as some others in attendance." Albert's gaze was hard as he locked eyes with Zeke for a long, drawn-out moment. Zeke had to change his opinion of the man. Despite his mediocre strength, those eyes were scary. It took everything he had to retain his unfazed, nonchalant demeanor. "Very well," Albert eventually said, his countenance softening. "That's good enough for me." Zeke breathed a sigh of relief. Before he could stop himself, he asked the question on his mind. "Are you certain that this is okay?" His face fell upon realizing what he had just said. However, Albert merely chuckled. "It's fine. Do you think the others here today are not trying to figure out how the ritual works? It is only natural to be curious. My questions are meant to uncover people with malicious intent, which you clearly don't have. Go on now." Zeke's smile turned genuine. Finally, he had passed the last hurdle. With a spring in his step, he passed through the wooden gate that had been opened for him by the guardsmen on either side. What greeted him was a medium-sized hall with layered benches that surrounded a central podium. However, instead of the historic chamber, his eyes were drawn to the figure standing at the center of the podium, her back turned toward him. The woman possessed hair as white as snow, which cascaded down to her hips. Her attire consisted of a pale gray robe, adorned with meticulously crafted black motifs that added an air of mystique to her presence. Yet what truly captivated Zeke's attention were the distinctive companions perched upon her shoulders. On one shoulder sat a snow-white crow, its feathers gleaming like ivory in the sunlight. The other was as dark as midnight, a black crow exuding an aura of misery and death. There was only one person who fit this description: Aurelia Eternexus Thorsten, the matriarch of the Thorsten family. Even after Zeke entered, her figure remained motionless. However, that didn't mean his approach had gone unnoticed. Both the crows had tilted their heads and were now staring at him.
"What is this, Ether?" the blackbird croaked. "I don't know, Nexus. Maybe he's a guest. I don't think so. He looks a bit young and weak. Maybe I should eat him?"
"No!"
the white crow exclaimed. "When will you ever learn that life has value? Even one so fragile."
"Ridiculous," the black crow sneered.
"Life is nothing. Only in death can true meaning be found. Agree to disagree." However, the black crow wasn't satisfied with this outcome. It was looking around the room before finally fixing its gaze on Zeke. "What do you think?"
Zeke was stunned by the entire display.
Since when were summons this intelligent? It took him a long moment to even realize that the bird had spoken to him.
"Think about what?
Not the fastest, is he?"
The black crow sighed. Yes, sighed.
"Listen here, boy. I am asking about life or death. Which do you think holds more meaning?" Before responding, Zeke glanced at the woman in front of him. However, she seemed not at all inclined to intervene. During all this time, she had not moved and her back remained turned toward him. Maybe this was some sort of test, or merely a game. Before answering, Zeke considered the question carefully. This was not a light subject after all. "I believe that life and death are inseparable, two sides of a coin," Zeke explained. "A man who travels a path devoid of purpose will inevitably meet a death that echoes the same. On the other hand, a man whose life is a tapestry of extraordinary experiences will be blessed with a matching end." The crows didn't respond. Both just quietly stared at him with their unnerving eyes. Zeke could feel immense pressure from the two summons. Despite their childlike antics, these two birds weren't ordinary. "That little guy is quite sly, Ether."
"I don't know, Nexus. I kind of like that response."
"Me too. That's why I said it."
"Oh yes, now I can see it too. He is quite sly indeed."
"Sly, sly, sly."
"Enough," a soft voice interjected. "You are getting on my nerves."
"You hear that? You're getting on her nerves, boy."
The woman sighed.
"I meant the both of you."
The crows looked at each other and began to cackle silently. Then, after a moment of relative silence, the same voice could be heard again.
You are Ezekiel von Hohenheim?
I am, my lady. The event is not going to start for another hour. Why are you here?
Zeke hesitated. Should he just be honest? He didn't want to come off as insincere, not when talking to the woman in front of him.
I had hoped to meet you.
Is that so?
The woman replied. Zeke could read nothing from her tone. It had remained just as soft and distant as before.
And what is it that you want from me?
I've read your books, and was hoping to discuss some of your work.
Which ones have you read?
I've written quite a few.
All of them, I think.
Finally, there was a flicker of movement as the matriarch tilted her head back to glance at Zeke over her shoulders.
Well, well, well. Aren't you quite the handsome fellow? Now I finally understand what all that gossip is about. The streets are filled with rumors about a certain miracle worker.
I am nothing like that, my lady, Zeke replied.
Aren't you? She questioned. Ezekiel von Hohenheim, the refugee turned millionaire, all in a matter of weeks. Did you know that there is talk of inducting you into the Merchant Council?
I had expected that, yes.
So, you manage something even your mentor could not, and still claim to be ordinary.
That's not it either, my lady. I would never claim to be ordinary, Zeke responded firmly. But I believe the masses are awfully quick to declare something a miracle. I am a man of reason and logic, and as such, I am quite allergic to such superstitions. After humming softly, the woman finally turned to face him. Zeke had seen portraits before, but coming face to face with Aurelia Thorsten was something different altogether. Her beauty was captivating, but not the kind that typically attracted a man. Hers was a unique beauty, one that seemed to come from the natural world, rather than from people. To Zeke, she appeared more akin to a piece of art than a living, breathing person. This was a strange thought to have, but looking at her, Zeke couldn't shake the feeling that something was not right. Despite not having any distinctly inhumane features, she was somehow different. It was all the many details that just felt off. Firstly, she possessed an unmistakable youthfulness. If Zeke were to hazard a guess, he would place her in her late 20s, if even that. Her complexion was flawless, devoid of any wrinkles or imperfections. What set it apart, however, was its ethereal paleness, a shade that seemed to defy the norms of natural skin tones. It was bone white, in the truest sense of the word. Yet it was her eyes that immediately captured his attention. The unusual color of her skin only served to accentuate the intensity of her gaze. Within her pupils lay an absolute blackness, devoid of any trace of light. These were not the eyes of any human Zeke had encountered before, but they still held an otherworldly appeal. Zeke was captured by her eyes, a state he was only able to escape when the ethereal woman broke the silence.
First time seeing a death mage?
Yes, Zeke croaked. But this is vastly different from what the books have led me to believe.
Words are dead things, while the world is alive.
The dead can only teach you so much about the living, the woman lectured. However, it would not be fair to blame the books in this case. My situation is quite different after all. As somebody who claims to have read all my books, I'm certain you know why.
The mingling of life and death begets not immortality, but an absence of both. It weaves a curse that ensnares the soul to wander this world for eternity, caught in a perpetual state where true life remains beyond reach, and blessed release from it remains unattainable, Zeke quoted. The woman smiled, a gesture that somehow managed to be both endearing and frightening.
If I had been able to choose my affinities freely, I would have wished for mind as well. What a blessing a quick and sturdy mind would have been over the centuries. Who knows what I might have achieved?
With all due respect, Zeke said hesitantly, your achievements aren't lacking compared to anyone.
Is that so? Aurelia asked mockingly.
I've been alive for over 3,000 years.
Tell me, who is more impressive? Me or that brat with his mind affinity? Brat with his mind affinity? Who was she even talking about? There weren't many people who could be mentioned in the same breath as her. If it came to mages with a mind affinity, only a couple came to mind.
Are you talking about the Emperor of Arkenheim?
Who else?
Zeke considered the question honestly. If he just told Aurelia that she was more impressive, then she would probably detest him for his spinelessness. However, he also didn't want to insult her, and...
Don't bother mincing words, boy, Aurelia interrupted his thoughts. I know very well that I am not his equal anymore, and the more time passes, the further ahead he'll be.
I haven't met him.
Pah, she exclaimed.
You didn't miss much. He's not a very impressive man, but enough of that. You didn't come here to gossip. What was it that you had hoped to get my help with?
Zeke nodded. This was his chance, and he wouldn't waste it. In your book, Two Crows, you talk about how summons are linked to the summoner,
and you describe how they are able to perceive the world even while not materialized.
That is correct, but what of it? Aurelia asked.
Zeke hesitated. It was a big risk to tell somebody as powerful as the matriarch about his situation. However, if he wanted help, he had no choice but to reveal something.
I might be in a similar situation to that, he stated.
Aurelia's eyes sharpened. Have you gone through the ritual?
No, Zeke assured. This situation came to be as the result of an accident.
The woman studied him carefully.
What kind of being is linked to you?
I don't know, Zeke lied. But I think it is very powerful.
Powerful for you doesn't mean powerful for me, Aurelia stated. However, there is always a risk.
I am sorry, boy, but I'll have to turn down your request. The rewards don't justify the risks in this case.
I can pay for your services, Zeke suggested, but the woman was already shaking her head.
I am no mercenary. I don't work for money, boy, and I am not for sale. Then what else can I do to get you to help me?
Aurelia looked him up and down with her inhumane eyes as she considered the question.
My great-great-great-great-great-niece.
The girl who is going through the ritual today, have you met her?
No, Zeke responded hesitantly. He had a bad feeling about this.
Oh, she's a lovely girl, Aurelia gushed. Bright, strong, and beautiful. Such a joy to be around. The only problem is that the family and I are having trouble finding a suitable match for a girl this remarkable.
A suitable match?
For marriage, Aurelia clarified.
Zeke remained silent. He had wanted to forge closer ties with the Thorsten family, but not like this. Nevertheless, this was an enticing offer. This was akin to marrying into royalty. He would probably get Aurelia's unconditional support with the dragon problem as well. Why then? Why did every fiber of his being rebel against accepting this deal? This didn't come from the dragon either. It seemed wholly uninterested in anything going on here. No, this was coming from him. With a sigh, Zeke gave his response.
I will have to turn that offer down, my lady. I'm not for sale either.
Aurelia hummed noncommittally as she looked behind Zeke at the entrance.
A shame. But our time is up. Enjoy the ritual.
The moment she finished speaking, Zeke heard a murmur of voices approaching. Moments later, a stream of guests arrived at the venue. Immediately, they all swarmed the matriarch. Apparently, it was not only him who had wished to forge a connection with the woman. So much for that plan.